email, text messaging, and smartphone apps for smoking cessation and other health behaviors.
Thank you, Jen. So I'm really going to focus on mobile phones and share with you how people are using mobile phones for health promotion and review the evidence of where we are in knowing how they work in helping people change behavior. My disclosures is that I've developed Text to Quit and licensed it to Voxiva, Inc., and I'll be sharing with you a little bit about Text to Quit, and the funding for this work was comes from the NIH in a K award. So I'm going to have three parts, looking at the reach of mobile phones, the appeal of mobile phones, and then the evidence to support their use. So 85% of U.S. adults have a cell phone, and of those, 75% text message. They send and receive text messages. It's impressive that, you know, not only do we have high penetration with mobile phones here in the United States, but globally. So 67% of the world's population has a mobile phone, and it's the single technology or the technology with the greatest penetration in history, or communication technology in history. It has greater penetration than landlines, PC, and TV. So it's really kind of noteworthy that cell phones have spread as much as they have. As I mentioned, 75% in the United States of those with cell phones, 75% text message, and text messaging is more prevalent among minorities, more prevalent with Hispanics and African Americans compared with whites, and of course we know more prevalent with youth, big text messengers. We not only have them, but we marry them. 82% of mobile phone owners never leave home without their phones, and yes, we're sleeping with them now. 68% sleep with them by their bedside, and increasingly people just say, this is a device that I'm not willing to live without. You know, youth are rating it as more important than their TV. So we not only have them, we not only sleep with them, but we let them intrude on our lives. And so it's noteworthy from a communication perspective that we may stop anything to, you know, see what that text message is all about and how can we leverage that for health promotion purposes. Just a little bit about smartphones. Increasingly, smartphones are what we're using. Right now it's 35% to 40% of the mobile market, but it's rising really fast. It's estimated that in 1 to 3 years, new mobile phones will be smartphones rather than feature phones, and so we're going to increasingly be designing for the smartphone platform. And right now, users are more likely to be young, higher SES, male, and Hispanic and Asian compared with white. And we all know there's an app for everything. The last count I had was 225,000 apps, but it's growing and growing. And interestingly, this is just for all U.S. adults. 15% of U.S. adults have used their cell phones to look for health information. So there's a small segment that's already taking their mobile phone and seeing how can and using it for health purposes. It's higher among young adults, 18 to 29-year-olds, and among Latinos. Just to give you an example of a big text messaging program that's happening here in the United States, this is Text for Baby, which is a service similar to the program that's being run out of the CDC with a low dose, 1 to 3 messages per week about a healthy pregnancy, which are timed around a woman's due date. It's noteworthy because it's now got 180,000 registered users and growing, and because it's a really neat partnership between industry, government, and nonprofits. And so, and it's, I think, the biggest text messaging program in the United States right now. So we have reach. We've reached the babies, maybe. and we have a small segment already using mobile phones for health purposes. Okay, so why are these devices so appealing? Let's think about that now. I'm going to talk about it from the perspective of a user and then from the perspective of us in health promotion. So first, from the perspective of the user. So it's appealing as my concierge, as Siri, the new iPhone 4 device, has really made your phone into your concierge to help you find something when you're lost, get a restaurant, whatever you need. You use your phone and you can get that information. It's also your coach. It can help you track goals and push you to go further in those goals. It is my court jester. It provides games and entertainment. Anyone who's been riding the Metro can see that this is what people do to pass the time on the Metro. And then also, this one's not from, this list comes from BJ Fogg, but this is my own one, My Friend, because I think people kind of see it as not only a direct portal to their friends, but it's almost like a history of their friendships. It's got their pictures, it's got their text message conversations, it's almost like a record of your friends, and so if you're feeling lonely, you'll kind of go to your cell phone. And then from a health promotion perspective, these devices are appealing because we can provide help anywhere at any time. I mean, maybe reach people in, during that kiss, as it's shown in the slide before, in any moment. If you think about a lot of my work is in smoking cessation, so the idea of increasing contact time from a traditional smoking cessation intervention is very appealing. So from a doctor's visit or a call to a quit line, if you could extend that by enrolling in a text messaging program that would come to a person proactively for several months, that's appealing because you can supplement the face-to-face time. The engagement can be personalized and interactive because of the way that computer technology works. It's very easy to design a system that can be all about you and your characteristics and can do a back and forth where you can provide information and get feedback. When I think about pregnant smokers, I think the fact that the messages can come in a way that's unobtrusive and confidential is really important. That a pregnant smoker could be in a public space on a bus and look down and get a message about encouraging her to quit smoking, and no one around her would know that that was the kind of information she was getting. And so that's very appealing. It's very scalable to populations and more to the world. And then there's the reach to those with the highest disease burden, because I was sharing with you earlier, who is this technology reaching? Well, it's really reaching minorities, it's reaching youth, and in some cases that overlaps with where the highest disease burden is, so it may be a great way of reaching into those populations. And lastly, it's useful as a research tool because these devices move when people move, it goes with people. And so for very mobile populations, it may be a good way to track people and see whether programs are working. And now let me turn to evidence. So there have been really carefully done randomized control trials in the arena of text messaging for behavior change. And we know from these trials that that text messages can work in helping people quit smoking, lose weight, be more physically active, and manage diabetes. There's also evidence that text messages can work to remind people for appointments. And although the evidence is mixed, there's some evidence to support it for medication adherence, to getting people to take various medications. But that said, despite this great proliferation of smartphone apps, there's no efficacy on the smartphone apps to date. It's coming. People are studying them. People are developing them in a research context. But we still don't really know which of these apps work and whether what are the features that make an app work. And I'm going to just share with you one study from in the arena of text messaging to give you a sense of what kind of evidence is out there. So this is probably the best, this is clearly the best study that's been done in the arena of smoking cessation. And this is the trial, the Text to Stop trial out of the UK, which was a randomized trial with 5,800 participants. Really great follow-up, 95% followed up at 6 months, and 92% provided a saliva sample to test for cotinine so that the measure of quitting smoking wasn't just self-report. So really well done. And they found that a text messaging program, which when a person enrolled, they had to set a quit date within 2 weeks, and then they got a very intense dose, 5 messages a day for the first 5 weeks, and then 3 messages for 26 weeks after that. And what they found was that at 6 months, which is a good time, in smoking cessation to follow up, it was about a doubling of the quit rates, where 10.7% in the text to stop group had quit smoking versus 4.9% in the control group. And that might seem kind of low. Those differences are clearly significant, but the rates might seem low to you, but it's actually comparable for other population-based smoking cessation interventions like phone counseling. So it's impressive that just getting messages generated by a computer could do this for helping people quit smoking. And interestingly, there was no evidence that the effect observed was because of an increased use in quit lines or in nicotine replacement therapy or other pharmacotherapy. So it wasn't that it was driving people back to other evidence-based programs. It wasn't that people were now calling a quit line, even though the quit line was referred within the text messages. It was that the text messages were actually helping people quit smoking. And so what are the design characteristics of proven programs? So this is across programs, not just for smoking cessation. Generally, the programs that have been proven to work are automated, so they're computer-generated, and sometimes supplemented by a counselor, like a real person sending you a check-in once in a while. They're proactive. The messages come to you, and they include reminders, advice, tips. The messages are often tailored. The messages are bi-directional. You can reply to them, and you can set goals, track your goals, get feedback, get reinforcement for doing what you set out to do. And the messages usually come about daily. In the program I just mentioned, it was 5 times a day, but that's the high end. And just to give you a sense of what these messages might look like, this is from my program, the Text to Quit program, which is currently under investigation. We're running a randomized trial. But an example of advice might be text to quit. Tomorrow's the big day. Throw out all your cigs and clean out ashtrays. Keep busy and avoid smokers. Text crave to fight cravings. So that would be advice and a reminder. You know, just remember tomorrow's your quit date, which is very important to remember if you're quitting smoking. Another example, going down to where it says medication message tailored. So this comes only to a person who indicates in enrollment that they're going to be using the NRT patch. Be sure to have your NRT patch on hand, open the pack, and read the instructions so you're ready to use it tomorrow when you quit. And so that would be a tailored example. And then going into the corner, the far corner where it says check-ins, feedback, and reinforcement, text to quit, please be honest, did you quit smoking today? Reply yes or no. And then if they say no, they get advice on how to set a new quit date and still go about quitting smoking. If they say yes, then they get congratulations. So you can see they're getting feedback and reinforcement for if they meet their goals. And given the evidence base, I'll just let you know that in the arena of smoking cessation, there's now the New Zealand Quit Line has led the world in adopting text messaging within the context of a phone quit line. So normally people would call in and they would just get phone counseling, but now they have the option of being referred to a texting program. We in the U.S. are catching up. There's a website called smokefree.gov, which is leading information from the National Cancer Institute on quitting smoking, and they've just released a free texting program called Smoke Free Text, which any of you can sign up for and just to get a sense of what these programs are like. And then I've developed Text to Quit, which is to be integrated with, there's the 1-800-QUIT-NOW number, where people call up for phone counseling, and in some states, which are run by a company called Alere Wellbeing, they'll be offering Text to Quit, so people who call the quit line, just like in New Zealand, can also have the option of being referred to a text messaging program. And a little bit about smartphone apps. I'll go through this quickly. I mentioned there's no evidence that these apps work, but there are several studies that have now looked at the content of these apps to see whether they at least adhere to best practices in what we know works in behavior change. And I did a content analysis within the iTunes store. I just typed in the word quit smoking and a number of other words that are related and got the, when I did it, there were 47 apps related to quitting smoking. Now there are over 100. But just to let you know, for any health behavior you're interested in, it's very easy to go to the app store here or go to the Android market and see what kinds of apps are offered. We created a list of what programs should ideally do based on leading set of guidelines, the U.S. Public Health Service clinical practice guidelines. This is an example of some of the apps. They range from hypnosis apps where it was basically an audio recording explaining to you how you're going to relax, close your eyes, and quit smoking, to brochure kind of apps where you just clicked on different places and got information, to calculators that calculated how much money you're going to save and the health benefits you would accrue by quitting smoking. And then there were some sort of hokey ones, if you will, where they turned your iPhone into a substitute cigarette that you could inhale and burn and play with the smoke and so forth and so on. And I don't have a lot of time here, but I can refer you to the paper which was published in 2011 in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine in March. But basically we found that there was very low adherence to what we consider best practices in smoking cessation. And they really lacked very basic things like reminding people that medication is one of the leading proven therapies for quitting smoking, connecting to a quit line. Only two of the apps mentioned a quit line, and other things were also missing. So our conclusions were that the apps had low adherence, that hypnosis apps were actually found to dominate what people chose to download, and hypnosis is one of these therapies that aren't recommended as a proven therapy in quitting smoking. Apps could take better advantage of social networking, multimedia, and including text messaging or alerts. So people kind of thought, well, the text messaging, we have evidence that text messages work, but when you go to the smartphone apps, none of them remembered that the smartphone can still text message or give you alerts and reminders to help you quit smoking. So none of the programs that we reviewed had any of those kinds of alerts and reminders. And then just moving to future research questions. So in texting, we kind of have this evidence base that's growing that, yes, texting programs can help people quit smoking. But we know very little about the appropriate dose of messages, what timing, you know, the ideal timing of messages, the value of the interaction and personalization that is present in some of the programs, you know, what does that really add, and how to make these programs that are suited for low literacy populations. As we move to smartphone apps, you know, we really need to figure out, you know, do any of them work, which ones work. And then we need to remember what we've learned with text messaging, that these little bursts of 160 characters that come to you proactively over time do help change behavior. And so if you are designing a smartphone app, it would be wise to at least start with what we know works with mobile phones and not throw that out, especially as apps will take over as kind of the way that things are going, but to remember that text messages should be included too. And that's my presentation. Thank you. If you want my contact information, it's my first name, Lorian@gwu.edu.